San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 26, 2023. Today's lesson is Living Curiosity Wholly with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Seriously, folks, good morning. Thank you for your wonderful meditation and your opening, Reverend Mark. It is just, they move me, you know? So thank you. Thank you. Welcome home. Welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, where we always understand that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Just as fish live and move and have their being in the sea, we live and move and have our being in spirit, that infinite source. And so it is. So this month, February, this is the last Sunday in February, and our theme has been curiosity as a superpower. And I hope that during these lessons this month, you have had your curiosity ignited, that you are inspired to look into more than the surface of anything. The surface is a beautiful image, but what is behind that beautiful image is not always pretty. Now, next month, we're going to be talking about cultivating authenticity. And so we'll get into the difference between the substance and the facade next month. Now, curiosity means questioning everything. When our deep curiosity is triggered, we want to know. We want the answers to who, what, when, where, why, and if possible, how. Because it's not always the butler in the library with a candlestick. If we have the courage to inquire, to look into things, to simply question what is being said to us, what we're reading, what we're hearing, what we're seeing, if we question what is the truth here, we get to rely on that inner lie detector, that inner cord of truth that will allow us to gain wisdom from the one mind. And gaining that wisdom, that insight, that intuition, that's the superpower. That's the superpower. We are also in the midst of the season for nonviolence. It's the 64-day time frame where we make a commitment as an organization and individually to live, speak, and act nonviolently in honor of the work of Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. So today we have, it's day 28, and we have our affirmation for nonviolence. on your program insert. So please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I will notice the peacefulness.
I will notice the peacefulness
in the world around me.
In the world around me.
And so it is.
And so it is.
I will notice the peacefulness. When we are living curiosity wholly, which is today's lesson, one of the things that we do is we notice things. We observe things. We take note of things. Why do we do that? A better question is, why would we not? Why would we not? Why do we want to give our attention to something? Well, you know the words, I am that I am. This is what the Lord in the Bible tells us. I am that I am. I simply am, and that's it. And we, with our finite mental capacity, say, well, how can the Creator already exist as the creation? How does that work? When did it start? Well, it had no beginning and it will have no end. But today, we get the opportunity to notice the peacefulness in the world around us. And as we walk forth and look for peace in our surroundings, what will we find? Will we find chaos? Will we find disorder? No, because we are looking for peace. We are taking note of peace. And therefore, we are using that superpower of ours, that our thoughts become things and what we think about we become. So in thinking about peace, we are becoming peace. It's kind of nice. Next Sunday is, with the I am, this is all about where we put our attention. And so IAM, intention, attention, manifestation. We set our intention to be peace. We focus our attention on peace. And what manifests? Peace. I am peace. Okay, now next Sunday is New Thought Day. And New Thought Day is the first Sunday in March. And so I'll be talking a bit about New Thought next week, in addition to our lesson of Everyone Else Is Already Taken. So guess who everyone else I might be mentioning next Sunday? Reverend Dr. Durrell Watkins is a minister at the Sunshine Cathedral in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he wrote this about New Thought. What I love about New Thought in general is that it is investigative and experiential. New Thought spirituality is non-dogmatic. We aren't asked to believe what we can't, or to recite creeds from antiquity that do not reflect the cosmology or science of our day. We aren't asked to accept things uncritically, nor are we asked to embrace any belief out of fear. On the contrary, we are encouraged to contemplate the omnipresence that God is and to find hope, courage, joy, and peace in that reality. We deny that fear has any power over us, and we affirm that blessings are ours by right of consciousness. We give thanks for all the good we've experienced, and even for good that has not yet shown up, but that exists in the realm of endless possibilities. You are living and moving and having your being within that which is endless possibilities. Everything you can think of is possible. Somewhere in the Bible it says, think on things of good report, things that are loving and kind. And that helps us because that's where we're focusing our attention. Our intention is to speak on things that are loving and kind. Our attention then goes to things that are loving and kind. And we manifest an energy surrounding us within the great I Am that is loving and peaceful and kind. It's like step one, step two, step three. Set your intention, pay attention to your intention, and it manifests in your life. In our quotes this morning from Ernest Holmes, there's two typos in that, by the way. I usually double check, triple check, all kinds of stuff, everything. When you type in all caps, it doesn't spell check for you. When you're using your fingers on the keypad for the numbers, you really ought to check yourself. So the Reference in Science of Mind is on page 337 and 338, not 397. Ernest Holmes is the founder of religious science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And in his section, What the Mystics Have Taught, he has a little segment on evolution. He starts this part with, the universe, both visible and invisible, is a spiritual system. Man is part of this spiritual order, so indivisibly united with it that the entire cosmos is or may be reflected in his mind. And he talks about the man Jesus. He writes, the man Jesus became the Christ through a complete realization of the unity of spirit and the absoluteness of his word. Jesus understood that what he spoke was absolute. It was powerful. If he said, pick up your bed and walk, that meant that the person he was talking to was capable of picking up their bed and walking, regardless that it had been an invalid he was speaking to. He spoke his word of power. That word of power activated the health in that no longer a cripple. Ernest writes, his physical and spiritual faculties, he's talking about Jesus, his objective and subjective mind were completely poised and perfectly balanced. He had no doubt. He just knew, this power, I say these words and I am commanding this infinite power. Ernest writes, it is evident if this realization took place in any other individual, his word would be manifested likewise. Because behind the word is universal soul, omnipotent law. The Spirit is limitless, but can only be to us what we believe it to be. Why must we believe this? That's the question. Why? And here's what he says in all caps. Because until we believe that it is, we are believing that it is not. Until we believe that the universe, that spirit is limitless, we're going to believe that it is not limitless. And that's subtle, but it's powerful. It is all a matter of belief. It is all a matter of belief. So since it's all about belief, we can say, why should I believe something? And any time you ask why of something, ask why not. Why should I believe it? Well, because it's the truth, and it's a spiritual principle, and no, we can't prove it with something tangible, but we can prove it with our activities. So why not believe it? What do you have to lose? Nothing. Not a single thing. Henry Ford said, one of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his great surprises, is to find he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do. You can do what you are afraid you cannot do. Because fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence. Something that would say, well, you can't do that because you don't have your college degree yet. Whew. You can't go to college because you don't have your high school diploma yet. Well, that I can prove that one's not true. They have kids in high school also attending college classes and getting college credit. And you don't need a high school diploma to move on to college. In fact, colleges will accept people, community colleges anyway, without a high school diploma. Good to know, right? Another quote from this morning is from George Bernard Shaw. He said, I'm not a teacher, only a fellow traveler of whom you asked the way. So it's like I'm coming up to you and I'm saying, what is the way? What is the way? You're not my guru. You're just another seeker. Well, George Bernard Shaw said, I pointed ahead of myself as well as you. The way forward, the way ahead. The way is always something that involves movement. Could be physical movement, could be mental, could be spiritual, but there's always movement. Because if we stand and never move, we are stagnating. You ever seen a creek and then it's got this little area to the side of it that doesn't smell very good and it's got all kinds of green slime in there? It's stagnating because it's cut off from the flow of the rest of the waterway. go with the flow. In John Assaroff's book, The Street Kid's Guide to Having It All, he talks about the way ahead. He says, each of us must find our own direction. We need a vision for our lives, or else nothing we do means anything. This chapter in his book is dedicated to helping you create a vision of possibility for your own life. For the time being, let's play just imagine. If you could have it all, what would you do and be in your life? If you could have it all, what would you do and be in your life? He asks, what would you buy and what would you give? Whose counsel would you seek? What feats would you dare to accomplish? And where would you go? Just imagine your life lived without limits. God blessed you with a set of talents and unique qualities you must discover, develop, and exploit for yourself. All you can do is be who you are and become the best you possible. Maybe I should have saved that line for next week. You must find that burning desire to do whatever it is that brings total joy in your heart. On the following page, he writes, have you ever fantasized about really having it all? Money, health, spiritual connection, a job you love, and great relationships with your family, friends, your spouse, and kids. Not only that, but having the balance to really enjoy life. There are so many questions to think about and so many decisions to make. But guess what? If you choose not to take the time to design and decide for yourself, circumstance or someone else will choose for you. This is not how your life was meant to be. You deserve to decide for yourself exactly what and who you'll become and what you'll acquire along the way. So he's saying, ask yourself, ask these questions. And when we ask questions of our higher self, of our inner self, that infinite wisdom in which we all live and move and have our being, reveals things to us, reveals knowledge, reveals wisdom, reveals insight. And when we have when we've spoken our word, as soon as we speak our word, it goes out into the universe as a form of energy. And when we have emotions and joy associated with what we have spoken, that energy also goes out. And the universe, God, Spirit, the Creator, all of creation conspires to bring what you have named into your life. Maybe not always in the way you expected, but it always is bringing you that which is your heart's desire. So when you desire peace of mind, when you desire nonviolence, when you desire beauty and harmony, the universe cannot move fast enough to bring all that into your life. Why? Why not? Here's why. Because the universe can only say yes. That's all it can do. The universe doesn't choose, it acts. You choose. One of my favorite quotes in the Science of Mind textbook is, "You cannot live a choiceless life." So if there's one quote that I will probably repeat more than any other any time, it is this. It's on page 143 and starts in paragraph 3. We cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is choice. If it were not so, we would not be individuals. We have the right to choose what we wish to experience. We have the right to choose the kind of companions with whom we wish to associate, to say in what city and in what type of house we would like to live. We are individuals, and the only way we can be individuals is to be spontaneous. There is no such thing as a mechanistic individuality. It must have the essential elements of spontaneity. There is no spontaneity and no individuality without prerogative or choice. There can be no choice unless there is something from which to choose. Otherwise, the ability to choose would be merely a fantasy. Therefore, there must not be only the possibility of choice, but the liability of experiencing that which is chosen. So yeah, you get to choose. You get to choose whatever you want. You get to choose your experience. You get to choose whether you want to know more about anything. You get to choose if you want to question why or why not. Why should I be the spiritual director of this center? Well, why not? And here I am. I want to share something else with you from the Science of Mind textbook. So, living curiosity wholly is where we question, we inquire, we want to know. We don't just believe everything that's put in front of us. And we don't get spanked for it, for not believing. Some of us, as children, received corporal punishment. Some of us as children received grim looks from our parents. Some of us as children didn't really know our own parents. But whoever our guardians were made sure that we were being indoctrinated into what it means to be a human in this society. When I was growing up, that included politeness, good manners, obeying your parents, doing your schoolwork, being respectful of every adult who is either a Mr. or a Mrs. or a Ms. Well, actually, a Miss. We didn't have Ms. back then. Miserably. But what? These were the things that we were told. This is how to conform in this society. And you be responsible and you have personal responsibility, pick up after yourself, keep your room clean, do household chores, you know, all these different things that we had. And so that being how we were raised, those are the things that we believed. And we believed that everybody else was being raised just like us. Well, there's this thing about individuality. We have choices. Not every parent made the same choices my parents did, or your parents, or anybody else's parents. We cannot live a choiceless life. Therefore, we always have choice, and if we don't like the consequences of our choice, we can say, why did I choose that? Why not have chosen something else? And yet at all times, we know that we can choose again. Our present circumstances are a reflection of the choices we made in the past. We don't like our present circumstances, we can choose again. And our future circumstances will change to be in alignment with our predominant way of thinking, our predominant belief system. When we're living curiosity wholly, one of the things we should always be doing is questioning our beliefs, no matter what they are. No matter what they are, question our beliefs. People have digits on their hands and 5 digits on their feet, except for those who don't. So why do we have 5 digits per appendage? Well, because that is the general structure of the human body. However, some people have fewer or more. That does not make them wrong. It does not make them less than or worthless. What it makes them is unique. Unique. But if we were growing up and we thought that all humans have 5 digits per appendage and we ran across somebody who had 6, we say, it's an alien. It's not human. It's here from outer space. Well, perhaps not. Everything in our life is working out in accordance with the law, always. And in the Science of Mind textbook, on page 548, Ernest has a meditation that he wrote called The Divine Plan for Me. The divine plan for me is perfect. I am held in the mind of God as a complete and perfect expression of life and truth. No power can hinder nor mar this inner image of reality, for it is God-given and God-kept. God gave and God will keep. You are already perfect and whole and complete in the mind of God, in the image and likeness of the divine. That's who you are. Every day, we get to choose actions based on the questions that we decide to ask ourselves or others. Here are some questions that you might want to, you know, write these down and ask yourself every morning, and then spend 5 minutes just in the silence listening to the answers. Okay? Who am I? What do I want? When do I want it? Where do I want it? Why do I want it? Why do I want it? In other words, which is the quality of God that I am seeking? Behind everything visible is the invisible power and principle of spirit. We give an outward manifestation to an inner truth of infinite source, substance, supply, that is spirit. So if I say, I want a car, who am I? I'm a licensed driver. What do I want? I want a car. When do I want it? Tomorrow. Where do I want it? Right out here in front of the house. Why do I want it? Why do I want this thing called a car? Do I want it for freedom? Do I want it for mobility? Do I want it for wealth? Well, you know, some cars are really expensive, and if it's already paid for, you could sell it. Do I want it for peace of mind that if something comes up, I can go? Do I want it for economy? Why do I want the things that I want? Because it's never the thing. It's always the spiritual principle behind it. And so if you're doing this every morning, or even before you go to bed, asking these who, what, when, where, and why questions, the why, then you can ask one more question as you are living curiosity wholly. And that is, what's next? What's next? What's coming up in front of me? How excited can I be about it? Because the more excited you are about things, the more energy there is in the manifestation process, and it comes faster. There's a saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it. The universe is standing on tiptoes near every blade of grass, whispering, grow. Grow, grow. The universe is standing on tiptoes next to you, whispering within your ear, ask, 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 and it is given. And so I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.